following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to another edition, episode, whatever you want to call this thing, of our little podcast here, From Radioland. Appreciate it if you tell your folks about it, you know, all your peoples, all everybody you know, up on the Facebook, social media, wherever it is. The power of suggestion compels you to do so. That's what I want to talk about this time around. The power of suggestion in advertising. I know, it seems like a kind of a droll subject, but it's actually quite fascinating. Having been in this business as long as I am, and have been and continue to be, thank God, the oddities that occur in this world are really quite, well, they're out there as far as advertising. I've seen it all. What works, what doesn't work. There's a million ways to advertise a product. I'm sort of a straightforward cat. I do believe that advertising does work. I think it's good for clients to, or good for people to have it. You know, a potential business that is looking to increase their sales or have some more customers of some sort, which is really what the whole world is about. No matter what it is that you're doing, you're selling something. And the idea here is to, you know, be straightforward about it. You know, if I have something I want to sell to somebody, pretty much the most part of the, I'm just going to just tell you what it does and how it does it and where to get it. That's all there is to it. I have this thing. It does this. It costs that. And you can get it here. You know, be the envy of everybody in your neighborhood. Be the first one in your block to have this thing or that thing. You know, it's just simple, straightforward stuff. You know, a lot of times if it's new products, they have to demonstrate it a little bit, you know. And then it gets, you know, from there, you got to maintain it. That's why you still see commercials for, you know, like big fast food chains and certain malted beverages that are available everywhere. And they have been for a long, long time. They keep advertising because they want you to not forget them. That's how that works. And we all know that. It's all basic stuff. One of the more fascinating things to me about the world of advertising is when you get into is kind of a, you know, a mudslinging campaign. I have seen that so many times, and I see it to this day, and it goes into the suggestion of how, you know, one company is better than another, one is more superior than the other. And when it comes down to that, then there's certain things that have to be considered. You know, how is it that you do this? A smear campaign can work. I mean, it's obviously pretty effective. Look at politics. They do it all the time. I don't know how effective that necessarily is. But you know, they will say things, you know, advertisers will say things about another company, a competitor. In comparison, that's typically how it was done. You'd always see the leading brand. Well, if it's the leading brand, why are you know, why should I not buy it, right? The idea is that you're comparing one product over another. It seems legit. There's one that's going on right now, a brand new spot that has been running on television. Perhaps you've seen it. It involves two cable television entertainment providers, if you will. And one of them is a phone company that just acquired a satellite service. You know who I'm talking about. And the other one is a straight-up cable company. And when I first saw it, the audio wasn't tuned. I was in a bar, and it was just on the TV. And you saw these other logos. You saw these, well, maybe not their logos, but you saw their stuff. You knew exactly who it was that they were talking about, and it was showing that the equipment wasn't working, and it you know, there was this, it doesn't do this, it doesn't do that. And then you want to beat all of that, you need to go back to your roots and get back onto the cable. And you see a big spool of cable being thrown into the shot. And it's just this one gigantic smear campaign. Does it work? I don't know that it does. I mean, notwithstanding the simple fact that the cable television industry is going to be going through quite the upheaval fairly soon with the rise of smart television, which is changing everything. I mean, most everybody's watching things on the web now, and broadcast television per se is now transitioning over to that, and it's leaving the cable companies kind of holding the bag, if you will. So they're going to have to change their model in some way, shape, or form, but they still keep thinking that, you know, you're going to be buying the package deals, and that's going to take care of everything. Right? I'm going to spend $200 a month on something that I get 1,000 channels. Well, look at all these channels I get. Yeah, look at all the channels you get. How many do you watch? That's sort of the key, you know. But I digress. That has nothing to do with it. So, you know, a smearing campaign, yes and no. You know, you don't see the fast food joints. Well, yeah, you do. There's a couple of them that have, what was it? One of them with the redheaded broad. I think it was another one. It was a little slug burger joint, a little slider type of deal. And they showed various, you know, the cartoon creatures or the caricatures of, you know, the mascots of the other joints that are going through the drive through of that particular place, you know, as if, you know, don't tell nobody, but, you know, the clown likes to eat here, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, for what it is, it's cute, it's clever. Does it work? It probably does, because advertisement does work. It's highly suggestive. And you don't have to look any further than the world of toothpaste. Believe it or not, Kate and I were talking about this the other morning on the air. You know, when you go, everybody's got to buy toothpaste. Everybody, you should at least. you have to buy it. It's a necessity. You keep it around. There's a million different varieties and flavors and companies that make it, and they all do pretty much the same thing. So why should I buy one more than the other, or pick one over the other one? And the reason being is that they tell you why. They tell you why you should buy it, and people buy into it. They really do. They go, well, I get this because it does this, this, and this, and this, and this. Well, the point of the matter is that their competitor does the exact same thing. I mean, we're living in a world where almost everything has become level playing field. You know, banks is a prime example. Every bank on the planet has the same technology as the other one, by the way. You know, they just do. It's just however they want to set it up to attract your business. You know, come in now and open up an account. We'll give you a free toaster and an oven mitt. You know, that kind of whatever entices you to come in and do it. That is the case. The suggestion of a fast food joint advertising kind of late at night, you know, like after dinner hours. And it teases you with that. You're kind of hungry right now, aren't you? And then next thing you know, after you know, you're sitting there watching some TV, maybe you're kind of drunk, a little high, whatever the hell you are, and you go, well, you know what? Some tacos do sound pretty good. Our drive-thru is open late. You know, that kind of thing. Because they're playing into that, and so are you. It's not that you're fighting it. You don't have to. You know, you can choose not to go or do whatever it says. But, you know, back to the toothpaste thing. If you read on every tube of toothpaste that's ever manufactured in this country, it tells you exactly how to use it. You know, because there are people, believe it or not, there is somebody who has never had to deal with this sort of thing before. They have to put the instructions on there, and thus they tell you. And every tube of toothpaste I have ever encountered have all said the same thing. Put a pea-sized blob on your brush and brush your teeth with it. Okay? Now, here's the thing. They tell you in the instructions that it's a pea-sized blob, but if you watch the television commercials, they're smearing, they cover the whole brush in toothpaste. It's unnecessary. But think of it this way. Somebody was smart enough to realize that if they could get people to use three times as much toothpaste in one go, they would sell much more toothpaste because you're using more of it. Makes sense. It's really kind of a waste, but that's just kind of what they do. And we buy into that. We've done that for years. Who reads the instructions on a tube of toothpaste? I do. Don't judge. You know, when you're in the bathroom and you've left your phone in another room and there's nothing else to read and the toothpaste is there. Well, let me see what I've never really read this before. And then when you go, wow, I did not know that. Because I had been instructed all these years by the television and their associated commercials that I should always use the full brush amount to get the job done correctly. If a little bit is good, then a whole lot's a lot better, isn't it? But that's just it. That's just how this thing works. There's been this power of suggestion for a long time by the toilet paper people to rethink how you wipe your ass, which I thought at first was asinine. It turned out to be a pretty genius move on their part because, you know, you think about it, you're buying something that you're flushing down the toilet. I mean, granted, it's got its job, it does it well, and there is that. But they wanted to add to that because they wanted you to start using these handy wipe looking deals. You know, the wet wipes. Because you're not truly clean until that's how the language goes. You're not truly clean until you use the second step in our two-step process of wiping your ass. Right. Well, it worked because they sold a shitload of it, all the way up to the point where various cities and municipalities across the country were going, "Whoa, everybody needs to stop with this shit." Pardon the pun. Because the wet naps, the baby wipes, if you will, even though it says it's flushable, it is not.
Well, it says it's flushable.
It is not. We have to deal with your shit every day. So now you had these big, I don't know, these big blobs of wet wipes that were clogging up the sewer systems, causing massive amounts of trouble. And it actually had to, you had to get the guy in the scuba suit to go down into that and go get it out of there. Ooh, God, what a job. But if you'll notice, you don't see those commercials anymore because they couldn't come up with a way to make that paper product, the wet paper product, biodegradable enough to be flushed. That was the issue because toilet paper in and of itself is, it just disintegrates. It turns to, you know, dust under enough water. And these things don't. Disposable diapers were a big problem like that too, because, you know, they wind up in landfills, and they still do, and they clog up the system, and you know it's indicative of how the advertising thing works, because we now felt compelled that we had been wiping our asses wrong the entire time. Well, thank God. I didn't change. Yes, I'm clean. I use soap. And you know, and that's just it. All soaps do the same thing, but somebody else's is a little more special than someone else's, and that's what makes you do it. What makes you buy the things that you buy? Think about it. You go to a grocery store and you look at the shelves, you wander up and down the aisles, and you know, you see all the products, all of them kind of grouped together. You get to choose which one you want, based on whatever decisions that you are using to make those decisions. And that even goes down to this, and you may not even really be aware of it that much, but shelf space is a premium in grocery stores. And in fact, many products will pay the grocery store certain money or product in where they want their product to be. You know, who decides who gets to be on the bottom shelf, who gets to be on the top shelf, who gets to be eye level? It's a huge business. That's a huge, huge marketing business in and of itself, you know. And they get to make up their own little signs and coupons right there at the scene. So they're really forcing that competition thing to really turn it around, you know. When you look at the world of cars, we've come a long way now where all the auto manufacturers pretty much have the same thing going. That big battle between Ford and Chevy has been raging for years. They're in essence the same vehicle. Do they have differences? You know, yeah, sure, they have to customize certain things, but the engines and, you know, the mechanical parts of it are pretty much the same thing, you know? That's just a lot of those things are we buy based on our own habits. And that's something to certainly consider as you look at this whole thing. There was a time, I believe it was in the 70s, maybe the 60s and 70s, where subliminal advertising was a thing. It was ultimately banned by the Federal Communications Commission because they thought that there had been, I guess, some sort of study that was done to show that it did have some effectiveness to it. And it started, I guess, in movie theaters where they would insert maybe one frame every couple of minutes of maybe like a big cup of soda with the brand name right there. Or it would have a... maybe a big bucket of popcorn or something like that, and the idea was that your eyes wouldn't necessarily see it, but your brain saw it, and it would plant that suggestion in your head that, you know, hey, now's a pretty good time for me to go out into the lobby and go get a soda and some popcorn, or you know, however that may be. And as a result of that particular study, the FCC came in and they said, okay, no more of this because it's not very fair. You're planting a suggestion into someone's head when they're not really aware of it. Which was a pretty scary thing to think of back in those days. Since then, many studies have been done to show that subliminal advertising really doesn't work. There's been no real proof that it has any effect on whether we choose one product over another. It's a scary concept, but it is good to know that you know, we as a creature have the ability to, you know, toss that off and ignore it. Thank God. Can you imagine what the world would be like if subliminal advertising was a thing and everybody was, you know, subjected to the same subliminal shit, you know, untargeted, no less? Oh, my God, we'd be a messed up bunch. So, you know, that certainly is the case. And when you take that out of the equation and you bombard people with straight up in your face advertisement, it does work. It really does. I'm not saying that because I'm in the business. I'm telling you that because it's the facts. Saturation is really kind of the key. You don't want it to be too much, but you want it to be enough. You want your audience to be thoroughly aware that you exist without it being over the top. You know, that's why you see so many ads of the same products, or say like one company will who's selling a variety of different things will show you that variety in different commercials, so as not to completely wear you down. Okay, I get it. I can get this product at this store. I get it, but they also sell other things, you know. So yes, that does work. And I'll tell you a story. You may have heard me talk about it before. When I was working as a production director for a radio station, one of the things that I had to do was, you know, what you do is you create commercials and you dub commercials into the system for playback on the air. And there was a particular client that we had, a company. They were a national advertiser. They made ice cream. And each commercial was, okay, there would be like 9 commercials that had to have been produced, or even more than that. But they were the same commercial, right? In the actual recorded, the creative, if you will, the product, the spot came from that studio that made it, and they sent it over to us. And then we would have to, we'd have to put various tags on the end of it. So if it was, a 30-second commercial, the commercial would actually be, say, 25 seconds with a 5-second tag. And the tag would be like me saying, available at blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of thing. But it was available in so many different fucking places that I had to cut a bunch of these. And then you had to dub them in real time into the system. A dozen times or better. And I tell you what, when I got done with that work, I was craving that product. I really was. It was good. It was ice cream, by the way. They had these really hokey commercials, and they were brutal. And they had this jingle that was just horrible. It didn't stick in your head. I mean, for the life of me, I couldn't even sing it for you. But it was just kind of this fake, homey country type of vibe, and you know the announcer was giving you this whole thing about. You know, this image he was creating in your head, you know, those summer days when you would run out of the front door and this, you know, the screen door would slam. And those were the days that I remember most of my childhood. That and a big bowl of blah, blah ice cream. And it would hit you like that. And when you did it over and over and over, you're sitting there thinking, God, I'm craving this ice cream. And it does work. I don't know that I've ever stopped and did what I did to go buy it, but, you know, it did stick in your head. It does work. You hang around enough of these commercials. Shit, I used to dub so many of these car commercials, it made me want to go buy a car. I wouldn't buy a car from a car dealer if I had to. But that changes it. It does, and it makes you think about the things that are happening in this world. How suggestive is this? We do the things that we do, and we say the things that we say because we were told that was correct. We were told this is how it's done. We put all this toothpaste on our toothbrush because that's how we were told to do it. And it's wrong. But we do it anyway. You know, the commercials that exist out there for some of this stuff doesn't even need to be advertised, quite frankly, but it does. Certain hygienic products should really, you know, I don't need to see all that, which is why they have that mystery blue blood, you know. You know what I'm talking about? He bleeds blue. What kind of product is this? I don't know what it's supposed to do. This is wrong. I don't know that I want to see this. Yes, that's how this works, and it's kind of strange and weird and unfortunate, but that's the business that it exists. And that's why I think that, you know, if you have just some straight up honest advertising, you don't have to tell a story. You can, but I think what's most effective is like, look, let me tell you about this product and what it does. and how much it costs. I'd like for you to give it a try. Go here, do this, go there. You know, the call to action. It's all it's, and that's to me, I think, is really how that should work. Of course, in a perfect world, you know, I don't, you know, we don't need the government telling us how to advertise things. And I know that they've put their foot down on certain things like, you know, cigarette ads. Imagine that. We can't advertise that. And they're actually pretty funny about liquor ads too, which is weird because people still drink, but they do sell the product, which is really funny. If you ever noticed in a liquor or beer ad, no one's drinking. They can't show that. The Dos Equis guy, you know who I'm talking about, the silver-haired guy with the women around him at the table. I don't always drink beer, but when I do. But he's sitting there with the bottle in front of him, but he doesn't even touch the damn thing, and he's not even drinking it. And when they show him in his wild life and his escapades out into the wild, he's not drinking anything. So it looks to me like this old geezer doesn't do a damn thing. The reason why is that for some bizarre reason, the Federal Communications Commission, among other groups, have said that you cannot show the product being used when it came to alcoholic advertisements. You can't do that. I don't know why they would think that would make any difference, but I suppose they felt that the power of suggestion could affect a child because they see things visually. They may not understand what's being said or what's coming out of the television or the computer at the time. So if they see the silver-haired guy with a smile on his face with two women hanging around him, this little kid could be like him someday, but he's got to start by grabbing a hold of the green bottle with the two big brown X's on it. Yeah, that's the power of suggestion. It's the same thing with the cigarette smoking because it freaked a lot of people out that kids were really buying into this. Remember, was it back in the 70s and 80s with the cartoon violence? We couldn't have the cartoon violence because it was too many kids were wanting to beat up on everybody else. Or so they told you that. Aside from the fact that a responsible parent might be in a position to, you know, explain the rules of the universe. This is a fake world. This is a real world. Look at the two sides here. The coyote doesn't always know he can't fly until he stops and looks down. That's a rule of cartoons. So if you want to go jump off the roof of your building, off of your house, off of your apartment, wherever you jump off a ladder, you'll fly as long as you don't look down. Yeah, we've got stupid people out there amongst us. I know that. And the advertisers are having to walk a fine line when it comes to selling their products to people like you and me and the dumb people. We don't include them because we know you're smart. So in that aspect, watching what comes across the television is really quite mind-boggling sometimes because the commercials that we do see are, sometimes they can be very creative, but for the most part here of late, they've just gotten really dumb. Sometimes you have no idea what the product is that they're actually advertising. There was a rash there for a while, I think it was in the 90s, where it was like clothing companies were showing people doing things out in parks and with other people out on the streets and having fun. And then you didn't know what the hell was going on until the very end of it. I mean, it looked more like a beer ad than anything else. And at the very end, it was like available at such and such clothing retailer, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, the beer company with the horses that are trying to tell the stories with them. It's cute and clever and all. Does it sell beer? Probably it does. If you want to call it beer, but I mean, that's just it. That's, you know, we felt compelled to look at that product when we're standing there in the grocery store and we realize, oh, that's the one that did the thing with the people and the dog. I love that. I shall drink this because it will make me as cool as them. That's exactly what these advertisers want you to, that's what they want to hear from you. I like this because I can be like that. It's not, I like this because it does what it says. That'd be ridiculous. I like this because it makes me want to be like that. That's the secret behind that beer ad, you know, with the old guy. It works. Because they've sold a shitload of beer as a result of it. You know, when I talk to clients all the time and I go, well, I'm on the fence about advertising. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. And then ultimately they'll turn you down because they're deathly afraid of it all. And the next thing you know, they're out of business. Could advertising have saved them? Maybe. there's probably a lot of other mitigating circumstances that exist around that sort of thing. But you've got to let people know that you're around, and that's sort of the point. That's the bottom line. If you want to be creative with it, fine, do so. Have a funny thing going on in there. Humor is always good. You can never go wrong with that. Oh, my God, the ASPCA ads. You know the ones I'm talking about with Sarah McLachlan. Oh, my God. Where's the motherfucking remote? Makes me want to turn off the TV quicker than anything else. I know exactly what the product was, and it's the saving of these animals, and it's heartbreaking shit that they show you. It's the same thing with the starving kids in other countries. You know, this is Manuel. Manuel hasn't eaten anything in 5 days. But you can contribute for as little as 30 cents a day. You can make sure Manuel gets all the nutrition he needs. Dude, there's prisoners that eat for more than that. 30 cents a day ain't gonna feed shit. Somebody's making money somewhere. I digress. Whatever the case may be, that is the effectiveness of what we see. It plays with our emotions. It plays with our points of view, our thoughts. And a successful advertising campaign can kind of roll all that in together without being so in your face, so interrupting of everything, so obtrusive. God, there's nothing worse than having a door-to-door salesman. Well, a door-to-door religious person, but they're doing the same thing. They're selling you on their church, so you go and give them money, et cetera, et cetera. I get it. But, yeah, I mean, because you can't get away from it. And I'm okay with it. I mean, we live in this world where advertising is everything. You drive around town, there's billboards, there's signs, there's bumper stickers, there's posters. You know, you have to do that. I get it, because you won't know where something is until you've seen that. In this world where we DVR so much, or we have on-demand type programming such as this podcast, which you'll notice is commercial-free for now. I'll get to that in a moment. The idea that we could fast-forward through commercials with the DVR made television viewing a lot different. It certainly changed the way a lot of people watch television, and it freaked out a lot of advertisers because they didn't know quite how to do it. So what they began to do now is sometimes mirror the content. So or they use a lot of heavy graphical visuals that, you'll still be absorbed by the name. But it does make for having a more creative commercial, because there are times I've seen commercials that are hilarious that I absolutely love. And I may not even remember what the product is, but I'll stop and watch it if it's really that entertaining. It's a 30-second entertaining bit, and I love that stuff. And I think there needs to be more of it. We've seen far too many commercials out there that are boring, 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 boring. It's everywhere. And Radio Memphis is certainly guilty of running boring commercials. But it happens, because you have to kind of go with what the client wants. And you want to tell them otherwise, but you know how it goes. You know how people are. And then there's the other ones. And before I begin to wrap this up, there's these other set of commercials, the ones that are designed to scare you, the ones that are designed to completely freak you out. Do you know somebody who has taken this drug? It's been linked to heart cancer. It's been leading to testicular attacks, whatever the case may be. Oh, my God, this thing could kill me. I need to call these people and figure out what's going on. It's a law firm. You're joining a class action lawsuit. Oh, yeah. And public service announcements do fall into that same category. Of course, those are run by the benevolence of the stations themselves. We run them as well to promote a certain thing that's a nonprofit or is a health thing. There are some of those, like the drunk driving one. Oh God, what was it? What was the one? I think it was distracted driving. It came out some time ago, and it showed this kid behind the wheel of a car, and he's driving. He's got the windows down, and he's playing with the radio. Right, he's trying to change the channels on the radio, and then the screen goes black. You hear locking up tires, a squealing of a car skidding, and then you hear an accident. And on the screen, just in text, there's no one, because no one speaks in this thing. It says, Bobby didn't like the radio station, so he killed a kid. Wow. You go put it that way. Then I'll have my radio taken out of my car. Or he really, really didn't like what was on the radio, I guess. I'm not quite sure how all that is. I don't know. I think it's time for a beer. What do you think?
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
So, what are you doing these days, bro? Hey, pal, if you're following me on Facebook, and if you claim to be a Facebook friend of mine, then why are you asking me that question? Well, what the hell are you bitching about? Well, I'm not really bitching. That's just it. Well, okay, maybe I am. Here, because when you do this for so long, you think that people should understand that and recognize that fact that this is what you do. I went back and listened to one of the first episodes that I did of this show. Whew, Lord, it was a stink fest. In my point of view, you might have liked it. I did something right because it brought some people. It was the milkshake that brought the boys to the yard.
It's so releasing when you do this, isn't it? Don't you just feel better all the time?
It's like taking a dump.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
So yes, as I've mentioned, this podcast is commercial free. It is now. A couple of times we've tried this kind of a crowdfunding type thing to see if we could offset some of the expenses. I'm not looking for much to offset the expenses in running the show, and it's not that big a deal. And I thought, I was sold on this through advertisement through our people over at Podbean. They were the ones that actually suggested that we give this a shot because you just don't know. There might be, some people out there that would probably contribute money to make sure that you continue to do what you do. I want to make this free. I don't want this to be a subscription type thing unless there's some very specific type things. Yes, I would probably consider having a subscription service for maybe not this podcast, but another one I might be associated with, by virtue of how expensive this thing would be to produce. But that's a whole nother story. However, having said all that, I've given this patron thing a shot. It's not doing anything, and that's leading me to a natural conclusion. I've said it before that I don't think that on-demand content should contain advertisement, but there's no other way around it, and I think we may have to wind up adding an ad to this thing. So, there is that. It's kind of right now. It's just exploratory. It may happen. It won't be like a like a television show or radio show where it was like 10 minutes of ads in the middle. No, we wouldn't do that. It would be one client would be available for the advertisement of this podcast, and it may come to that. I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on it. But in the meantime, all of you people who have supported us by sharing us, I appreciate that so very much. I do see that it gets shared quite a bit, and I thank you. It's wonderful to have that to have that in your knowledge that's going on, and seeing everybody from all over the world that has been listening to this. I thank you so very, very much for it. We're having a great time doing it. We got a bunch of fun things that are coming. I got some more interviews that are on the way, and some fun things too. You've already heard what's coming up next time. But in the meantime, if you would, please feel free to subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. And if you do, if you're on the iTunes, if you would drop us a comment over there as a review, if you will. Give us however many stars you think we're worthy of. That'd be kind of groovy. And that'll help spread the word as well. Those of you not on iTunes, if you are a consumer of podcasts through other means, like through your Android device, you can do so at Stitcher. Stitcher has us there. Also, TuneIn, I believe we're there as well, as player.fm. And on our website, radio-memphis.com, at our host site, podbean.com, rickcheddar.podbean.com. And then there's always the blog spot, rickcheddar.blogspot.com, which has a little more different written inside information and occasionally a picture or two. You never know how that goes. Thank you again for listening and for sharing it and telling everybody you know about the show. I appreciate it. We're going to continue on. Got some fun stuff coming too. So there you have it. So for this is it for this time around. I'm done. Thanks for the time, and take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radio Land.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.